essentially, it's looking at what a person does rather than who a person is, and how one begins to demonstrate a sense of reliability and consistency, where people begin to depend on each other to be able to get things done in the workplace.
What makes you trust someone?
How do you begin to develop a sense of comfort with someone? In terms of whether, one, I can feel comfortable working with them, to longer-term trust in terms of empowering them to work independently in the workplace. When you're interviewing someone, how consistent is what someone says and presents themselves as it relates to what it is they claim they have done prior to the interview in their work history? So what a person does in terms of what they represent on a resume to how they may define that. So is there a consistency and a reliability that makes a sense of a fit as it relates to how you feel about the person and in essence how you feel that person may fit with other people in the workplace, because essentially we want workers to feel a sense of trust, and a high trusting environment in an organization can lead to a very productive workplace.
And before we get to some of these specific situations of trust, I wanted to ask you what you felt the level of trust now is in general within the government between management and line employees.
That's a challenging question, because there's a lot going on in the government right now that leads people to feel like they're not being trusted. I do believe if you look closely at some of the alignment issues as it relates to the workplace, you'll see that managers may in fact feel, you know, more comfortable about what goes on with employees than what employees feel is going on in the workplace. That being said, there are a couple of challenges out there that are currently bringing a lot of different feelings about trust in the workplace. For example, let's talk about the whole notion of telework. People are now looking more and more to work remotely. Work is done in a virtual space. Actually, if you look at telework, it becomes a challenge around trust. If I don't see you and see what you're doing, do I feel confident that you're exercising the duties that you're supposed to exercise in the 8-hour day? And this is something we've seen even in the work we've done at Deloitte with clients around telework, where people very much want to do telework because, one, the commute and the traffic in the area, clearly, time with family, work-life balance, clear issues that are important. And from a company's perspective, an agency's perspective, clearly cost savings in terms of how much space do I need for employees in a particular place. But that being said, you would think, well, gee, this may be a no-brainer. But it really becomes more than that, because there's still many supervisors and managers that are very uncomfortable because of the trust issue as to what employees may be doing across that 8 hours when they can't see them face to face.
From the employee's perspective, how can they win someone's trust relatively quickly? Say, if you want to work at home, or if you want more independence, or you just want to do your own thing and get it done your own way.
I think it goes back to some of the foundations around what does it mean to trust an employee. It's what a person does. For example, if I work remotely, I may in fact be more productive, and I can demonstrate a certain level of productivity in a way that may be exceeding my productivity in the office. It may also lead to greater satisfaction because of the work-life balance issue. And subsequently, that leads to higher morale in the workplace, greater thinking, creativity, innovation. I'm more motivated to do more because I have one more time, and I have a greater sense of connectivity to the workplace because I feel it's a two-way street. I'm not being sort of mandated to be in a certain place at a certain time for a specific set of hours.
We're speaking with Michael Gellis. He's a director of Deloitte Consulting and former chief psychologist for the Naval Criminal Investigative Service. And I wanted to ask you about Edward Snowden in this way. When doing a background check or doing an evaluation of someone, you know, leaving this particular individual aside, are there signs, indicators, markers in a person's personality that are visible that can indicate whether they will be trustworthy in the future?
That's a great question, and it relates to a lot of the other dynamic in government right now as it relates to the need to develop insider threat programs, where are we able to trust the workforce without having to monitor them all the time. And this becomes really a cost-benefit analysis, a real risk analysis. But are there characteristics that we can look specifically at? Yeah, I think there are characteristics actually on both sides of the fence. First of all, you know, we do find that individuals who tend to demonstrate a certain sense of inconsistency or unreliability that would translate into questioning trust are those individuals who at times see themselves above the rules, that strong sense of entitlement. They tend to sort of overvalue themselves and do things that, in essence, one, don't necessarily need to be done, and two, don't necessarily lead to collaboration or engagement with other folks. They also tend to be intolerant of criticism, and they have a history of not really managing feedback or criticism or constructive criticism in the workplace effectively.
Sounds like they're just the type of person you don't want to work with regardless of whether you trust them or not. I mean, sort of sticking out like a sore thumb.
I would have to agree with you, but at the same time, some of these folks are incredibly capable and have a skill set that we really need to rely on to get the work done. And in essence, sometimes, you know, it's having to, if you will, tolerate the sore thumb to be able to really play the game. And they in essence, become employees that we have to pay a little more attention to. And I don't necessarily mean in terms of watching everything they do, but really doing a little more hand-holding with them because they can be very effective in terms of what they can produce. But yes, they're not the type that you really want to work with from the standpoint of having a work environment where everybody's collaborative and constructive.
And so in doing background checks, say, for purposes of security, do you think the process as it stands now works in terms of weeding out people like the Snowdens, and I say him as just one of an example, or could that be enhanced in some way?
I think the vetting process as it stands is clearly requires a greater look-see, a review of sorts in which we can begin to think a little more contemporary about how we begin to look at what a person does as it relates to vetting them in specific positions. I think it also has to do with vetting is not just vetting, meaning that we want to begin to think about how we vet employees for very specific jobs. So those jobs that may in fact require greater trust should have more comprehensive levels of vetting. Vetting that may look, specifically at patterns of behavior around what they do. Clearly, there are criminal checks that folks do, financial checks, but I don't think we really do the kind of employment checks that we should be doing. Now, some of them are obviously, you know, challenged by privacy laws, and those are important, but we really need to be thinking about looking more at what a person does, patterns of behavior in the workplace, patterns of workplace behavior that can give us greater insight into what that employee may essentially look like when they come work for us.
And whether we're talking about criminal investigations like those that you used to do or just the everyday workplace productivity, what level of trust does there need to be between two people working together in order for things to work?
It's going to come down to the fact that one can feel that one can depend on another person, that person is committed to the work that's being done and to the collaborative mission that the two folks that we're talking about working together are looking to accomplish. They're committed to the objectives that we're trying to meet without necessarily feeling that one may have to cut corners, that one may essentially bypass certain rules, that people will take on and share equal responsibility in the types of jobs that they're going to co-share and produce. And so I think it has a lot to do with how individuals work together, both in terms of sharing responsibility, committed to the same objectives, and specifically following the rules and the policies in the organization.
And in your experience, is someone who doesn't trust people, can that person be trusted?
I think the idea is that if someone doesn't trust someone, then of course it's going to be a challenge because there's going to be an exceptional amount of questioning or doubting in terms of that person's reliability, that person's dependability. I think we can all sort of reflect on something like that and say, well, if you had somebody who was constantly micromanaging everything you do, questioning everything that you're doing, doubting the outcomes of everything that you're presenting, it surely would create an environment, I think, where it would be difficult to, one, want to work with that person, let alone feel that you could trust them on the other side in terms of being able to adhere and collaborate and follow the associated policies, expectations that one we're trying to work towards.
And again, drawing on your expertise as a psychologist, once trust is broken, can it ever be truly restored?
Well, that's a difficult question because, you know, some people will say once burned, then always burned. I think in essence, individuals clearly have stumbled, you know, in the workplace, and people have stumbled in other areas of their lives. And I think if you have a collaborative environment where people are able to have given second chance, surely everybody makes mistakes. And if in fact one can continue to establish a record of dependability, reliability, and consistency, and I come back to those terms because those are really the cornerstones of the types of behaviors that you really want to be seeing in your employees and in your coworkers and in your managers, one would hope. But in essence, I think that in many instances, you're going to find people who feel like they've been burned once are very shy to go back and trust someone again, especially if it's going to have an impact on their own personal reputation or however they're viewed in the workplace.